Let's read together Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 through 31. In the second half of the chapter, we have the great miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. As a result, the children of Israel were delivered from the threat of Pharaoh's army. Exodus chapter 14, beginning now at verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. Here in Exodus chapter 14, we have one of the greatest and well-known miracles of the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. Skeptics of the Bible, and even some Christians, have tried to water down this great miracle by saying that the children of Israel only crossed some shallow lake or marshy area because the Hebrew term for Red Sea can be translated Reed Sea. Well, let's mention a few things from the text itself that would refute this idea that it was only a small, shallow lake or marshy area that the children of Israel crossed. Number one, verse 22 and verse 29 both say that the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, this is not Hebrew poetry or symbolic language. Hebrew poetry has a certain structure to it. This is historical narrative. Number two, verse 28 says, "Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained." Now that doesn't sound like waters gradually seeping back into a marshy area, does it? And number three, verse 30 says that Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Dead bodies don't wash up on the seashore of a swamp. And number four, even though the Hebrew term Red Sea can be translated Reed Sea, the same term is used wherever the Red Sea is referred to in the Old Testament, including the body of water where King Solomon had his navy, according to 1 Kings 9:26, which says, "King Solomon also built a fleet of ships at Ezion-Geber, which is near Elath on the shore of the Red Sea." Certainly King Solomon did not have his fleet of ships in some shallow sea or swamp of reeds. Now exactly where Israel crossed the Red Sea, we don't know. Gulf of Suez, extension of the Gulf of Suez, Gulf of Aqaba, Straits of Tehran, we don't know for sure. Now there have been some recent reports of supposed coral-covered chariot wheels found in the Gulf of Aqaba, but no such findings have been documented conclusively to this date. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this second half of Exodus 14. Doctrinal point number one, divine miracles may sometimes involve unusual events of nature. Divine miracles may sometimes involve unusual events of nature. A divine miracle could be defined simply as a deviation from God's normal way of operation, in which God temporarily interrupts or changes the ordinary course of events. You know, I just finished writing a book on Christian evidences, which has a whole chapter about miracles. I'm reading a section entitled Definition of Miracles. Quote, miracles are not just things that happen which we can't explain. A miracle is an extraordinary event in the physical world which takes place when the supernatural realm breaks into the natural realm and temporarily interrupts or changes the ordinary course of events. God is in control over His creation at all times. A divine miracle is simply a deviation from God's normal and natural way of working. A model train layout is a good illustration. Usually the train is allowed to run along on its tracks in its ordinary and usual way, according to the conditions and plan and pattern laid out by the designer of the model train layout. But sometimes, for his own reasons, the designer reaches in to change around some scenery or pick up an engine or boxcar and move it to a different location. In the same way, God, the great designer, normally allows His creation to run in its usual and ordinary way by the natural laws and patterns He set up in the first place. But sometimes, for His own special purposes, God reaches into His creation to work in an unusual way, a miraculous way. End of quote. This is Definition of Miracles from Ready to Give an Answer, a book on Christian evidences, which is available on our website, growingchristians.org. Now, using this definition of a divine miracle, it could be said that miracles may involve unusual events of nature. For example, when God brought down the walls of Jericho, He may have used an earthquake. Now, the earthquake was a natural event, but it was still a miracle because God timed it to be triggered with the blast of the trumpets and the shout of the children of Israel. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan before conquering Jericho, we read in Joshua chapter 3 that the waters of the Jordan were completely cut off upstream and heaped up at a place named Adam. I'm reading from Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. The Lord probably used some kind of landslide across the Jordan at that point. Again, probably due to earthquake activity. That whole area, by the way, is subject to earthquakes because of the giant rift that runs the entire length of the Jordan Valley. In any case, earthquakes are natural events, but may be used of God in His timing of divine miracles. Now, what about the parting of the Red Sea? Was this just a very unusual natural event that God programmed to happen just at the right time, and thus it was a miracle? If so, the timing of the waters returning to drown the Egyptians was also part of this very unusual natural event. Verse 21 indicates that a strong east wind was involved in this miracle. Verse 21, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. But it's hard to conceive of how this wind would have made the waters like walls and kept them that way when the children of Israel crossed. Presumably, the wind stopped in the morning because the children of Israel and their little ones and animals would not have been able to walk in the face of such a strong wind. In any case, divine miracles may sometimes involve unusual natural events. Doctrinal point number two, divine miracles will always involve the supernatural power of God. Divine miracles will always involve the supernatural power of God. Even when God chooses to use unusual natural events in His divine miracles, His supernatural power is still involved. God is sovereign over nature. Nothing happens by chance. Think of the supernatural power of God involved in holding those walls of water back until He let His normal law of gravity take over when He said to Moses in verse 26, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. No wonder we read in verse 31, "Thus Israel saw the great work or great power which the Lord used against the Egyptians." Now, there are many miracles in the Bible that can only be explained as God's supernatural power apart from any timing of unusual natural events. Think of the ninth plague of darkness that we saw in Exodus chapter 10. Thick darkness for 3 days over all the land of Egypt, but God gave light to the children of Israel in Goshen. That sounds like more than just a very unusual natural event, doesn't it? Think of Joshua's longest day in Joshua chapter 10. Even Christians have tried unsuccessfully to explain this divine miracle as just the timing of an unusual natural event. Think of Daniel's three friends preserved in the fiery furnace. Is that a natural event? No way. Think of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 or the miracle of the Lord having Peter walk on water. On and on we could go. These miracles are not just God's timing of unusual natural events. No, this is God's supernatural power directly at work apart from any natural events. It seems to me that the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea involved more than just the divine timing of an unusual strong east wind. Here was the supernatural power of God directly involved in holding back the waters in walls on behalf of his people. So whether it is just the timing of natural events or direct supernatural power temporarily suspending natural laws, divine miracles will always involve the supernatural power of God. What about practical application from the second half of Exodus 14? Let God open up the way. Let God open up the way. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, we read, "By faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." Now, that's a very encouraging verse for us, isn't it? Especially when we see how the children of Israel were fearing and complaining before the miracle. But God is gracious, and he opened up a way for the children of Israel, and by faith, they passed through the Red Sea because God wanted them on the other side. Now, do you see the lesson? In our walk of faith, the Lord will always open up the way for us to do his will. No barrier or obstacle can stand between us and God's will if we let God open up the way. Illustration. You know, I remember years ago when I sensed that God was calling me out of secular employment to serve the Lord full-time in a teaching and preaching ministry. I told the Lord at that time that by faith I was going to wait for him to open up the way. And he did, because that was his will for me. Now, let me ask you this morning, is there some barrier or obstacle right now between you and doing the right thing or doing what the Lord has called you to do? Even the matter of evangelizing your neighbor or wanting to make something right that you messed up? Listen, the Lord will always make it possible to do his will. Let God open up the way.